Great to see you as always, and we're excited for what God is doing. We do not want to come and just play church. We want to be the church. We want to hear from God. We want to believe together. We want to pray together. We want to receive together. We want to do this together. And so last week we were talking about unity, saying about staying together, being as one, being as a team. And I believe that is what God's challenging us for. He's calling us to it more and more and more. Be united. Be united. God loves it when his people are united. I want to read straight away in Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 2. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is what God is challenging us with this morning. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, saying about we're in a race. We're in a race. We're running for something. We're either running for God, or we're running for ourselves, or we're running for somebody else. But God is challenging us this morning. If we know him, if we love him, we are running for him. He is our prize. He is our glory. We are running this race for Jesus, and Jesus is helping us. We talked a bit about it last night. I believe God just wants to expand it a bit further this morning for us. As Nikki said, we had an amazing time. We saw so many guys coming. I mean, literally, we have people that are coming from all lengths and breadths of the country, which is amazing. They're just coming. They're having a good time. They're 20s and 30s. They're meeting people. They're getting to meet people with the same heart, with the same dreams, and they're becoming stronger and stronger together. Is that not God's heart? And it's his heart for us this morning to just get closer in unity. God is calling us to run. He's calling us to run with endurance because there's times where it's going to be hard to run. There's times where you're going to come to hills and it's going to be hard to keep going up those hills. But God's saying, run with endurance and I will be your strength. I will be your guide. And as it says there this morning, he says, set aside every weight. You know, if you're a runner, Stefan is a runner. He loves to run. He is a runner. He's run many marathons. He is awesome at it. So much better than me. I could not run. I don't like it at all. I like to stop really quickly. But in Jesus, I love to run. I love to run for him. And he's saying this morning, lay aside every weight. Why? Because simply this, when you're trying to run and you've got loads of weight on your back, it's slowing you down. You cannot run the way you want to run. So God is saying, lay aside every weight. And what are those weights this morning? Anything that's holding us back from God. There could be hurts. There could be issues. We're going to look at some this morning. But it could be anything at all that's holding you back from God. It could be a good thing, but it's holding you back from God. Lay aside every weight. And then the sin which so easily ensnares us. You know, sin is a terrible thing. Sin is what separated us from God. But the funny thing about sin is this, it's very attractive. It's very, very attractive. I mean, the reason people fall into sin is because it's so good. It's initially so good. I mean, alcohol tastes so good, or, you know, getting in a relationship with someone that you shouldn't. It feels so good. There's so many good things to sin. But God is saying this, sin, it only lasts for a moment, and eventually it corrupts. Eventually it brings death. Eventually it pulls you down. And ultimately what sin did was it separated us from God. And so when Jesus went to the cross, he removed that separation. He defeated sin. He defeated death. And so we do not want to get back into sin because look what it says, which so easily ensnares. Sin is one of those things that just creeps up on you and before you know it, you're getting involved in it, or it's getting involved in you and it's taking over you and it's just ensnaring you. It's trapping you. If I go to snare something, I'm like going out in a hunt and I'm trying to snare a rabbit. I'm trying to trap it. My ultimate goal is to trap it so therefore I can kill it. That's the ultimate goal of a snare. And God is saying this morning, be so careful about sin because it so easily ensnares because of its attractiveness, because of its niceness, because of its exterior. But inside, it's just so toxic. It really just wants to hold on to you so that the enemy can come and destroy you. But let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking on to Jesus. Jesus is our perfect example this morning, and he is calling us to run. He is calling us to run with vigor. He is calling us to run with passion, to run with enthusiasm, and to go for him. And so I want us to look a bit further into this morning. I was praying this week, and I felt God was saying this. He's saying that there's a lot of people that are trying to run, but instead of running, we're walking for many different reasons. We love the Lord. We've asked Jesus into our hearts. We know we're supposed to run this race and do it well, but for whatever reason, we're just walking. And I guess walking for a certain period of time might be okay as long as we start up running again. But I think if we're not careful, we get slower and slower, and the run starts to become a stop. And then the stop just becomes a sit. And before you know it, we're not running at all for God. We're not racing at all for God. We're not going anywhere in God. And I was praying this week, and I felt like the Holy Spirit had just put three different kinds of reasons that would cause us to walk or cause us to stop in my heart. And hopefully it's going to speak to you this morning. And the first one is this, is that we're walking because we're wounded. We're walking because we're wounded, because it's very hard to run if you're wounded. It's very hard to run if you've got an open wound or you've got a cut. It's just constantly at you. You know, if you've got a cut in your leg and you're trying to run, you just constantly feel that pain. So it's constantly telling you, stop, slow down, take it easy, hold back. And God, I believe this morning, wants to speak to our wounds and he wants to heal us. In fact, it says in Psalm 147, verse 3, it says, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. What a lovely verse. He heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. You know what I love about this verse is this, is that God sees your brokenheartedness. He sees when we're going through tough times. And as Nikki shared and some of the other guys have been sharing this morning, maybe you're here today and you've got a broken heart for whatever reason. Maybe it wasn't your fault. Maybe it was part of your fault. Maybe it was somebody else's fault. But God sees your broken heart, and not only does he see it, but he can heal it. Not only can he see it, but he can heal it. Because you know the thing that we're very good at? We're very good at pointing out problems with each other. We're very good at saying, wow, she's okay, but she's got this. You know, he's good, but he's got this thing. And we're very good at seeing the problems and seeing the brokenheartedness and seeing the issues, but we cannot fix them. We have no way to do it. We're just very bad at that. Unless you're a doctor, and then maybe you could give somebody a nice piece of medicine and that would help do the trick. But God says, I see your brokenheartedness and I'm able to heal it. I'm able to heal it. I'm able to bind up your wounds, almost like a bandage. In other translations, we'll say like a bandage. God will put a bandage around your wounds, and he will heal you up. He will restore you so to allow you to run again. And so this morning, what are the things that are holding us back? I thought about it and, you know, just thinking about wounds and where they come from. And a lot of times, the wounds that people are struggling with are wounds that have happened way, way back in the past. But the present, you're still feeling the cuts. You're still feeling the hurts. You're still feeling the disappointment. You're still feeling the effects of what happened years ago. And you know that you shouldn't be, but for whatever reason, you're still feeling it. And even though you're a Christian and you're supposed to be a new creation, and you are, there's, for whatever reasons, we're constantly being reminded of the past. Maybe there's a person, maybe there's a thing, maybe there's even a smell or a sound, but it's constantly reminding us of something in the past, and it's just jagging at us in the future. It's jagging at us in the present, and it's slowing us down, and it's hampering me from going forward. And so how does this break down when it comes to reality? It comes to this. Somebody asked me to share my testimony, but I'm not able to do it because I feel like I'm too wounded. I feel like, how could I do that? I don't feel like I'm qualified. I don't feel like I'm ready because I'm still battling with some things in the past. I look good on the outside, but I'm still hurting. I'm still crushed on the inside. God says, I see your broken heart, and I'm ready to heal it, and I'm ready to bind up your wounds so that you can go. And even in those moments, never allow that to disqualify you from what God may call you to do, because he will equip you along the way. Maybe we've been wounded from the start, but God is saying, I'm here to heal you. Because if we don't get healed, what happens very often, you see it in life, people that don't know the Lord or are not saved, is that the person who was wounded then start becoming the wounder. It's not even a word, wounder, but you get my heart. It's like they were wounded and they were hurt, and then eventually distance and time gets involved, and then they become a person who starts to wound others. They become a person that starts to affect others because they're taking their pain out in other people because they just cannot get a resolution to the pain and the hurts and the wounds that they've had from before. And God is here this morning and he's saying this, I am a great healer. I can heal those wounds. Believe me when I said, I will heal your broken heart and I will bind up those wounds. I can't run well when I'm full of wounds. And Jesus can heal us. Don't allow the pains of our past to prevent us from the present and what God wants us to do. And so already I believe God has been speaking to us and he's been challenging us and he is talking to us. And maybe he's just whispering this morning because he knows how sensitive some of those wounds can be. And he's saying, allow me to heal you. And that's a big thing when it comes to wounds, because sometimes, I don't know why we do it, but we end up, we don't enjoy carrying the wounds, but we're not brave enough to deal with the wounds. And sometimes we have to bring it before God and we have to open up in a sense. We have to open up and reveal our hearts and get vulnerable before the Lord. But know that he is never going to despise us. He is never going to reject us. He is never going to let us down. And it's in that opening up, it's in that vulnerability that God can truly do his work. So the Lord is not only here to heal your wounds, but he's causing us and he's asking us, will we just open up a bit to allow him to heal those wounds? Maybe the Lord is just challenging that today and he wants to do it today. He doesn't want to wait till tomorrow. Second thing I felt God was really strongly putting on my heart is that we're walking because we're afraid. We're walking because we're afraid to run. And fear can come in many different forms, and it can affect you in many different ways. I was chatting to one of the girls last night. She was just about to do her testimony, and she says, I'm feeling really nervous. And I'm like, nerves is a great thing. Just don't let them overcome you. Don't let them ever kind of beat you. Eventually, you can come to a point where you can control them rather than they control you. But nerves just keeps you right. I always feel nerves. I like them in a sense. It just keeps me right. It just keeps me going. It just keeps me in the right place. It keeps me leaning on Jesus. But we're walking this morning instead of running because we've got fear. Maybe fear again because of the past. Maybe fear again because who do you think you are? Who do you think you could do this for God? I mean, God's called you to do this, but I know who you really are. The devil likes to tell us things. Our mind likes to tell us things. And we're here this morning, and not only are we afraid, but we're full of fear, or maybe even terrified. Or maybe even just terrified. And terrified is an awful word, and to feel terrified is just a terrible thing. But God is here this morning, and he said, I can lift that fear off you. I can take that fear away. I want to read a verse again this morning. This is David, Psalm 56 again, going into Psalms again. It says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. You see, there's something that we have to do when we're full of fear. There's something that we have to do when we're afraid. We just put our trust in God. We do something with it. It's almost like we just take the fear and we just put it into God. We just give it to God because it's something that we cannot carry. And if we try to carry, it slows us down. It hampers us. It immobilizes us. It disables us. And it causes us not to go. Isn't that funny when you think about fear? Fear, you could be running along, doing really well. Maybe you're running along the road and somebody gets a new dog. And suddenly you're like, whoa, either run really fast or I stop running at all. Because fear does that. It just suddenly immobilizes you. That path you took for a lifetime, that road that you went for a lifetime, and then suddenly you've got a fear about it. You've just got an anxiety about it. And before you know it, you just want to detour. You want to go a different route. And I feel that God is saying this morning, the fear is very good at doing that. It's like we're running for God, we're going for God, and we could be doing great things for him. And then suddenly a fear starts to grip our heart. It starts to disable us, and we start to get slower and slower and slower and slower until we maybe even decide to go the complete opposite direction. And God is saying this morning, put your trust in me. Wipe out the fear by putting your trust in me when I am afraid. And you see David in this moment, David was captured at this moment. In this moment in the Psalms, David was captured. He was taken prisoner. He was in the wrong place, and yet he was able to speak truth like this. He says, Lord, I know that I'm in captivity at this moment. I know that I'm captured at this moment. I know that the enemy's out to plot to kill me. I know that the enemy's out to get me. But when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. I just love in this moment just what David's able to say. I love what he's able to declare. And maybe this morning that's simply what we have to do. And there's times when we don't understand it, but we just say, Lord, I don't understand it, but I read this verse and I believe it because I believe it's bigger than me. And I say this, Lord, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. This is what God's asking us to do. He is a real God. He is full of relationship and he wants to spend time with us. I'm feeling afraid. It's going to happen, but how will I react? This is the thing. When we live life for any length of time, fear is going to come upon us because it comes from so many different sources. And it's either going to beat us and overthrow us, or we're going to put fear in its box, because otherwise fear will put you in a box. It's just what it does. It's just what it does. Imagine fear, what it can do. People have fear of spiders, and before you know it, they're just afraid of spiders completely. A spider puts a person in a box. It's incredible. And it might be the smallest thing that you could just roll over in bed accidentally and crush it. And you didn't even know that took place. But if you see it for just a moment, if you just see it for just a glimpse, you're just full of fear. And God is saying this morning, when you are afraid, when I am afraid, when I get afraid, when I get nervous, when I get scared, I put my trust in you. I do something with it. I do something with myself. I make myself move. He put his trust in God and he started to sing. This is what it says in Psalm 56, verse 10 and verse 11, just a few verses down. It says, in God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust and I am not afraid. What can man do to me? Do you know what I love about David here? And it's what we said already, is that the more afraid we should get, the more scared we should get, the louder our praise should become. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel normal. It doesn't feel like it's a thing that we should do. But when you know that God's always good and that he's always in control and that he's for you and not against you, then you realize this, who can touch me? Who can harm me? What is fear really? It's just, it's almost like a lie. It really is. It's a lie from the enemy because he's beaten. He's puffed up. He's trying to shout. He's trying to tell you these things. We said last night about David and Goliath. It said that Goliath stood on the mountaintop for 40 days and he just shouted and screamed at the Israelites. And he just screamed things like, you think you're God's chosen people? If you are, come and face me. And no one would come. No one would come. What was he doing when he shouted? He was intimidating the Israelites. He was putting fear into them till eventually fear gripped them. And I think it said in the middle of 1 Samuel 17 that they were terrified, they were dismayed and gripped with terrible fear. And even the king himself didn't know what to do. And then suddenly David came with a fresh perspective and he spoke truth into the situation. Here's David a few years later and he's still speaking truth. He's still speaking truth. He says, when I'm in the pit, when I'm in the valleys, I know a thing or two. I've been there. When I'm in those, I'm going to sing. I'm going to praise. Whose name will I praise? I'm going to praise the name of the Lord. In him, I will put my trust. In God, I will trust. I am not afraid. What can man do to me? Do you notice what David says here? He's just before he says, when I am afraid, I'll put my trust in God. A few verses later, he says, in God, I trust and I am not afraid. I believe he's speaking of faith there. I believe he's just speaking of faith. I believe that there's still fear around him. He's still got every reason to fear, but he's decided to do one thing. He says, I've decided to take control of the situation. I've decided to put my trust in God, and so therefore, I'm not afraid. I almost feel like it's like he's telling himself that. I'm not afraid. My trust is in God. And I believe we've got to do that sometimes because our feelings will tell us things that are not always correct. And so in those moments, even though you said, I've put my trust in God, and you're like, but I still feel afraid. I'm still really nervous. I don't know what to do. But you know what trust does? Trust is a very active thing. It's like, I trust you, so I'll follow you. I'll trust you, so I'll speak this out. David said, I trust you, so I'll say I'm not afraid. I'll trust you, so I'll sing my praises. And when we sing our praises in the pit, really what we're doing is saying, God, I trust you. I trust you that you've got this situation under control. I trust you, Lord, that you still love me. I trust you, Lord, that you're for me and not against me. And so this morning, as we would sing, as we would go forward, really what we're saying is, I trust you, Lord, and we're putting legs to our faith. Then he defeats fear with reality. This is what he does. He defeats fear with reality. He says, what can man do to me? And this is it. What can man really do to me when my trust and my faith is in God? What can anybody do to me? There's nothing that you can really do to me because even if you take my life, I go to live with Jesus forever. I spend eternity with him. So what can man do to me? I mean, this is one thing I think that we should just give to God is daily, as much as we can. Lord, I've got no fear of him. I've got no fear of her because people sometimes are our biggest fears. They're our biggest fears. What will she say? What will he say? What will he think of me? And we talk ourselves out of loads of things because we're so worried about the people around us. That's why I love church, that we can get together people. Because church is the people, it's not the building. And I love to get around with believers because there should be less of that fear and there should be lots more faith. And we're in a place where we can say, wow, I've come up with this business idea. What do you think? And we're like, wow, I'm going to pray for that. I'm going to believe for that. God can do that. I mean, there's just a completely different atmosphere. Oh, I've come up with this great idea for this. Wow, I'm going to pray for that. I'm going to believe for that. Wow, you could surely do that because if God is for you, who could be against you? Or you come up and you go, I've heard a word from God. What do you think? And someone encourages you and somebody blesses you. Or they text you during the week and they go, I've had this verse. I've had this word from God. I just want to encourage you. I want to tell you this. You tell somebody that who's not a Christian, who doesn't know God, they're going to turn around you and go, you're weird. I mean, they're just going to discourage you. They're going to put you off. They're going to fill you full of fear. You might have come up with the greatest idea, but you know what really they're thinking is? Jealousy. They're thinking jealousy because it's like, why didn't I come up with that idea? Why didn't I get that idea? I mean, that should not be in the body of God. Instead, we should be like, we should be winning for them. Wow, you come up with that idea. That is amazing. I know God will bless me the same. I'm not envious of you. I'm not jealous of you. I love you because of what God's done for you. And I know the same God that's done it for you can do it for me. There's just no competition. There's no comparison. And that's why this morning we got to lift each other up. We got to utilize what it's like to be in a body and encourage each other, build each other up and cause people to dream, cause people to go in the words that we say. Because remember, the words that we speak have power for life and death. Absolutely. They've got power to lift you up and they've got power to bring you down. And God is saying this morning, use the words that we've got to lift each other up. And then the final thing this morning, and I believe this is a big one, just to share it with you. I believe this morning we're walking. Maybe you're not walking because you're wounded. Maybe you're not walking because you're afraid. Maybe you're walking just simply because of lack of faith. Maybe you're just walking this morning because of lack of faith. You know, we're talking about words and we're saying, wow, you should go and do this. And then our automatic response is, oh, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. We're talking ourselves out of it automatically. We're not utilizing the faith that God has put inside of us. And so I believe this morning, if we're not very careful, we could be walking instead of running because we just don't have faith. We're not believing things. We're not saying things. We're not going for things. I mean, this is the way it goes sometimes. Oh no, I'm not going to pray for him or her because I'm just worried that they mightn't get healed. You see, automatically what's happening there is doubts filling their hearts instead of faith. Instead of running for God, we're stumbling because we're like, oh, I really know I should pray for them, but I'm worried that something wouldn't happen. And so we're starting to worry. We're starting to try to be like God as if it's anything to do with us. We are just participating, but God is really doing all of the work. And so this morning, maybe we're walking instead of running because we're anxious about this and we're anxious about that, because we really just need our faith to get stirred up. And so this morning, I'm believing this, that God wants to stir up our faith. Sometimes it just needs a good stir. Sometimes it just needs a good stir to look good again, to get working again, to get moving again. And sometimes in our hearts and our lives, if not all the time, we just need God to come and just stir us up. Just stir us up and just say, come on, stir us up. And do you know how we can do that again as a body? Stir each other up by telling about good things that God has done. Tell them about answered prayers. It just stirs you up. Tell them about signs and wonders that God has done this week in your life. Maybe tell them about a good situation that's come through. And that just stirs not only you up, but it stirs somebody else up. And when you get stirred up, you start to believe for more. When you get stirred up, you start to believe for more. And you know what I believe? Instead of walking, you start to run again. When you get stirred up for God and you start to believe he can do anything, maybe you need to get stirred up by reading the Bible again and just read how he just parted the Red Sea and the Israelites just walked right through. Maybe you need to read the Bible again and realize that Jesus actually went to the cross and he rose again. He defeated sin, he defeated death. He actually can do that. Maybe we just need to start reading our Bibles again and go, wow, he opens the blind eyes. He opens the deaf ears. He can actually raise the dead. I could believe for that. Do you know, if we're not careful, what our faith is based on is experiences. I've not seen it before. I've not heard it before. I've never seen it done before, so therefore I can't believe. And so we're walking instead of running because we're basing things on what we've seen instead of what we've heard. You know what the Bible says? I'm going to read the verse. It says that so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's in Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I like to hear things from God, because when I hear things from God, I start to believe it better than my voice. I like to hear things from God, and maybe I'm going to hear them through the word, or I'm going to hear it through a person who gives me a text, or they're going to come to me and go, I was praying this week, and I just really believed that God was saying this for you. It may just be me, but I want to give it to you. That's how we encourage each other. That's how we lift each other up. That's how we inspire each other to believe again. What if we're walking instead of running because of lack of faith? Because we're basing our faith on what we've seen and heard instead of what we know is true. If the Bible says it, we believe it. You know, if God says, I can raise people from the dead, then we believe it. If God says, I will save you when you confess me with your mouth and believe in your heart, then we believe it. We can't see that. We can't really see into the fine workings of that, but we trust God in that. And so I'm saying this morning, if we can trust God for salvation, which is the greatest miracle, what can we not trust him with? What can we not believe for? And if he can do that for everybody else, why can he not do it for you? Do not be held back by the ways that we think and by the things that we think about ourselves. Faith is essential. We hear this in Matthew 13:58, and we're nearly finished. I can't believe this verse. It says Jesus, he did not do many miracles there because of the lack of faith. He did not do many miracles there because of the lack of faith. Jesus, the Son of Man, the person who could do anything, and yet he's being stifled because of the lack of faith. I mean, this is where it breaks up. This is where it comes down into reality for us. Is Jesus comes, and he's here this morning, and he cannot do many miracles here because of the lack of faith. Wow, wouldn't that be a sad testimony? Wouldn't that be a sad statement? And God is saying this morning that if you would only stir up your faith, in other words, you are parked in with me to see great things done in this place, to see great things done. I was thinking about a story earlier on. I thought to myself, imagine there's somebody here, and maybe they've got the disability or in their wheelchair, and there's everybody around about them, and Jesus comes and he wants to heal, and he just turns around and he goes, guys, you're either going to have to start to believe or you're going to have to go, because I can just feel such an atmosphere of unbelief. Because I can heal this person, I can set them free, I can do wonderful things in them, but if you're not going to believe, then it's better that you go. And you read that again and again in the Gospels. You read that again and again where he says, I need you to leave the room just to be polite, just to be kind, because I'm going to heal this person, but I can't do it with you in the room because of your unbelief. And I want to be in the room when Jesus is doing great things. I want to be in the midst of him. I want to be believing. I want to be contributing. I want to have the faith to believe for big things, because my faith is not based on what I've seen. It's based on what I've heard from the word. It's based on what I've seen in the word. It's based on what I know God can do rather than what I've seen myself. He says he could not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Guys, we were challenged this week about reading our Bibles, and I want to encourage you with as well. Reading your Bible is an amazing thing, but I understand it can be a difficult thing. It can be a hard thing. And so I was reading this thing from R.T. Kendall, who's an amazing guy. He's at the end of his life, and he said that, you know, I've talked to many pastors and many leaders all around the world, and their confession is this, is that we don't really read our Bibles that well. maybe not even read it cover to cover before. Can you believe that? Some of these really famous, well-known people. And yet, we look at ourselves and we think to ourselves, well, maybe I've not read it before that well, or maybe I haven't read it cover to cover. And, you know, instead of feeling full of shame, you know what we should say is, right, I'm going to go do it. I'm going to go do it. And he talked to one leader, and he says it in the blog, and he says this, because we're talking about hearing the word, and hearing the word's where our faith comes from. And remember what it says in the word is that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so he shares this story about a pastor, and he said, there was one thing, if I could live my life over again, I would start reading my Bible more faithfully earlier on in my life. It has just become such a rock to me. It has just become such a rock to me. And so with that in mind, what we did was we printed off a Bible reading plan. They're on the notice board out there. We just got a new notice board, not especially for that, just because we knew it was going to be a good thing to have. And you are free to take them. If we run out, we will print you more, don't worry. And it just helps you to read your Bible. It's going to track you the whole way through. And I think in the space of a year, reading 15 minutes a day, that's all it's going to take. You're going to read the whole Bible. And you know what happens when you read the whole Bible? You get the whole picture. I want to get the whole picture. I want to get the whole picture. And as you read, here's the encouragement. I want you, without sounding like a heretic, maybe leave off the version that you've got at the moment, because maybe it's difficult and hard to understand, and maybe go and get an easier version to understand, simply because I want you to learn to read. I want you to learn to just get into it. And so for you, if you can read and understand the message version, then go do it. I absolutely encourage you to go do it, because I believe when you get through that, then it'll inspire you to go and read something. Maybe there's more of a literal translation, like an ESV or New King James or King James, whatever you want to do. But the worry is this, is if we stick to the thing that we've always done, maybe we'll repeat the same mistakes that we've always seen happen before. And so if we're struggling to read the version that we've got, go and get a different version, because for the sake of that, if it helps you to read the whole thing, then go get it. Because I know what it's like when you get to Leviticus and you get to the rules and you get to all the regulations and you get to all these things. I know what happens, you just stop and you go, leave that to next year. And we never get any further. And we start over again. But you know the beauty of this plan? It was written like 200 years ago and it's still good. It's this. You start off in Genesis and you read four chapters a day, and it's always from four different books. So you're never going to get stuck in a book. You can just keep reading. And if you miss a day, you just start up the next day. And if you miss a couple of days, start up 3 days later and just start again. Just do not let yourself get discouraged. Do not let yourself get defeated by that, because it's there for our goodness. It's there for our benefits. And so how am I going to increase my faith? Hanging around like-minded people that are believing for good things. David was a giant killer. His three friends became giant killers. Why? Because they're just into that. You know what I mean? If you want to become a giant killer, you hung around David. It's just what he did. If you hang around a negative person, you become negative. It's just what happens. And so if you know there's somebody who is passionate for God, then spend a bit of time with them. Give them a phone call. Spend time with them. You will catch what they have got. You will. Because fire spreads. And anytime you get close to fire, it just spreads in your heart. And it does something. So if we want to get more passionate for God, we want to believe for more, we want to start to run more than walk more, then spend time with God, spend time with His people, spend time with His word, spend time in your quiet times, and just get to know God, get to know His heartbeat, so His heartbeat becomes your heartbeat, and you start to become one with God. Let's stand together, we're going to pray, and then we're going to sing. God, this morning I want to run. I want to run, Lord. But Lord, maybe there's wounds, maybe there's fear, maybe there's just simply lack of faith. And faith is a funny one, because wounds we recognize, fear we recognize, but lack of faith we can just put it down and say, well, that's just me. That's just me. I'll never do this. I'll never do that. But really it's lack of faith, because God is, if He's called you, He will qualify you. He will equip you. He'll do all that you need. So Lord, what I'm praying this morning is, let us not be content and settled with just walking or stumbling. We were bought with far too high a price. We were bought to run. We were called to run. Lord, whatever the issues, whatever the hardships, whatever the difficulties, release us in Jesus' name. Release us from the sin that so easily ensnares. Release us from the weights. The wonderful thing about weights are you cut the rope and they fall automatically. They fall automatically. Lord, come and cut the ropes in Jesus' name. Come and cut all the chains in Jesus' name. We don't have to worry about the weight. We just cut the rope and it goes. Doesn't matter how big the weight is, we just cut the rope and it always goes. So Lord, I pray this morning, God, come and cut those snares. Come and cut those ropes. Come and cut those chains and set us free in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing in faith this morning. David sung in the pit and it set him free in Jesus' name.
You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Well, I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we were searching for answers. Only you provide, because you know just what we need before we surely alert. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all every way. You are perfect in all every way. You are perfect in all every way. True as you are. You are perfect in all every way. You are perfect in all every way. You are perfect in all every way. True as you are. So undeniable, I can hardly speak. And peace so unexplainable that I can hardly think. I should call me deeper still. I should call me deeper still. I should call me deeper still into love. Love, I should call me deeper still. I should call me deeper still. I should call me deeper still into love.
Feel that the Holy Spirit just give me a word here today. I just want to, in this atmosphere, release this word by faith and Great word this morning, church, wasn't it? From our pastor. God bless you, Daryl. Thank you for your ministry. In the book of Joshua, in chapter 6, verse 2, the Lord says, Joshua, see that I have given Jericho into your hand. I want you to notice the tense in that statement that the Lord gave his servant Joshua. He said, see, I have given Jericho into your hand. And that city was shut up. The walls of Jericho were a mighty wall, a big fortress, that this city was given to God's people. It was promised. The city was promised to Joshua and the children of Israel as an inheritance. It was a promise that they would claim Canaan, that they would inherit that city for the glory of God. And what I sense the Holy Spirit to speak in over this community of faith, over this house, into our church here today, is that the Lord is saying, see that I have given Armagh City into your hand. See that I have given you this city, says the Lord. And when you think of the strategy that the Lord gave Joshua and the people, it didn't seem, earthly speaking, it didn't seem very sensible. They had to march around the walls of the city. But I just sensed that the Holy Spirit said that when they brought the Ark of the Covenant in that march around the city walls, and on the seventh day, that the walls fell down flat when the church of the Old Testament raised their shout unto God, and they prioritized the presence of God. That's what the Lord is saying here. I feel to this church this morning, to us as a people, when you prioritize my presence, when you accept my plan, then you will receive my presence. And when you prioritize my presence, then you will inherit my promise and see that I have given this city into your hands, says the Lord. And when you raise your voice, when you begin to shout, when you begin to release praise onto me, then that praise invokes my presence. And in my presence, then the promise will be born and the promise will be received, says the Lord. Whoa. Given the city into your hand, and the walls are going to fall down flat. Hallelujah. The walls of religion, the walls of prejudice, the walls of sectarianism, the walls of addiction, the walls of tradition are going to be broken down and fall down flat, says the Lord. My church, raise your voice, cry out in a song of freedom, in a song of victory. Prioritize my presence in this place, then the promise will be brought forth, says the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I wonder, just as we stand here, it would be okay to join and raise our hands and our voices to the Lord. Just in response to him, and I feel this is a word in season. It's a word from the Holy Spirit, a prophetic word over this house and for this city, for this city. That the walls are going to fall down flat and begin to fall and crumble. Hallelujah. Can we just lift our hands this morning, church? Can we just turn our eyes to him and say, Lord, so be it, let it be, Lord. Amen and amen. We raise our voices and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We claim this city for Jesus Christ. We claim our life for Christ, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are our Savior. Thank you, Lord. The walls shall fall down flat in Jesus' name. We say, Jesus be the center, Lord. Jesus be the center. Be high lifted up over this city, Lord. Over this city, over this county, oh God, we pray. Oh, thank you, Lord. You said, see, see, see that I have given this city into your hand. See that I have given this city into your hand. Thank you, Lord. There will be provision for the vision. Provision for the vision. Provision for the vision. Hallelujah. Release provision for the vision in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We worship you. The walls are falling down flat. The walls are falling down flat. Hallelujah. Supernatural, supernatural power. Oh Lord, we prioritize your presence. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Son. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, we break down religious mindsets in Jesus' name. Let that wall come tumbling down. We break down tradition that's kept people out of truth. We break it down in Jesus' name. Oh God, we even would come against program, Lord, and say we prioritize presence in Jesus' name. The presence of our God. In your presence there is fullness, fullness, fullness of joy. Hallelujah. Release your fullness, oh God, over your people in this county, in this city, in this land, oh Father. We pray for revival, an outpouring of revival, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' lovely name. In Jesus' lovely name. I just also sense in the Spirit this morning that the Lord is saying that there is a revival just ready to be released. Ready to be released over this land, over this nation. Oh, there's a revival that is ready to be released. And the Lord is saying, but when you rush, when you rush, when you rush, and when you strive, and when you push in the flesh, this revival cannot and will not be released, says the Lord. But when you move away from rushing in and out of my presence, and you return to the place of rest, says the Lord, then revival will break out. The Lord is saying, I'm calling you to be a people of rest, not a people that rush. Don't rush me, says the Lord, but rest in me. And when you rest, then I will release that revival anointing over you and over my people again, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise.
Thank you, Lee. We accept that, Lord. We receive that word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for that word right now, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are the great I am, Lord, that you are today, Lord. Lord, just thank you, Lord, that you are just current, that you are present here, Lord, that you are present in our lives, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you speak in a new way, Lord, that you give us our word for today, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that you give us our assignment, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, so much. Just as Lee was sharing that there, I just had a picture in my head of everybody here with army suits on them, army, what do you call them? Uniforms. And just God giving everybody an assignment and everybody a task. So some of you here, God has given you an assignment this week of sowing in prayer for this city. Some of you here, God has given you an assignment of getting deeper into his word and really, really committing to that. Some of you here today, God's given you an assignment to bring peace into your home and not war, not fighting, but to be an agent of peace in your home, of peace in your workplace. Some of you here, God's given you an assignment to just bring the gospel to people that you've never spoken to. Maybe it's a neighbor that you've never even spoken to. And today, just God has given individual assignments to people to go into your week and to be able to go in and just spread the love of Jesus, to go in to be kingdom people and to make a difference here in this city, in this area.